Morning, everyone. Thanks so much for joining. I'm Juji Haibel. I work for Support Foresight, and I invited, and today's the session that I organized, that I invited Madeline from the RNIB, who I think has an incredible life story, and she was very happy to share it with you all. So I'm going to hand it over to Madeline. She can introduce herself. Madeline, for your information, we have 10 people, 9 people, obviously 10 including you on the call. And if that's okay with you, if people start to or want to join in, we just let them in. Is that
that's
all right?
Fine. Yeah, sure.
And then obviously, definitely, if you have any questions or anything, just you know, stop, give us a shout. And yeah, thank you so much for coming and talk to all of us about your, I think, incredible life. Just as a quick question before you start, would you like me to tell you when we are up? So the session is an hour long. I don't know how long you're going to be speaking.
I probably don't talk the whole hour, otherwise everybody would be asleep.
Yeah. But so, I'm just wondering, would you like me to point out when it's...
No, I should be fine.
Okay, and then could you please leave some time for question and
answer?
Thank you. All right, then. Well, thanks for coming, and over to you.
Thank you, Susie.
Thanks.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Madeline Bloom from RNIB. I'm currently working in RNIB's Technology for Life team. I think some of you have heard of us, or some of you probably even spoke to us. You can reach us by ringing the RNIB helpline and then ask for the technology team. It sounds a bit like technology. You probably think, I don't want to use technology, or I'm all right using what I use, but technology is everywhere these days. So, you know, you might want to speak to us at some stage, in which case just get in touch. But I'm not here to talk about my job today, but it will sort of coincide a little bit, but I'm here to speak about me, about my blindness, I guess, in a way, and how I have overcome certain challenges in my life and what I have done so far. I'm Madeline. I am 39. I'm totally blind now. I was born 11 weeks premature. You wouldn't think that now if you see me. But at the time of my birth, I was very tiny. And, you know, my parents were told, we don't know whether she will have appropriate education, whether she can do things like that. You know, it was really different back in the days in the GDR, so the eastern part of Germany. That's where I'm from. And my mom, very young at the time, she was 17, and my dad with 23, they were quite worried. Because of my premature birth, I developed blindness in both eyes because of the wrong oxygen that was given to me in the incubator at the time. So my eyes are, I would say, yeah, to a certain degree, they're damaged. They look small but normal, but my retina is dissolved. At the time of my birth, it wasn't fully dissolved, so I could see little bits. I can't really say it in percentage, maybe a 3% of what people see that have normal sight. But that was better than nothing. And that was what I really, really liked for my first, I would say, 15 years. That made life a bit easier. And I also developed hydrocephalus, that is too much water in my brain. And my parents had to make a decision when I was one that I have to undergo an operation where I had a shunt fitted in my head that would sort of deal with that. And for the first 6 years of my life, that sort of influenced a little bit of it, really, because I was well in myself, but every now and then when the weather changed or when that bothered me, you know, it wasn't like my parents would have raised like a child without any difficulties. So and that back in the days where they lived in a tiny village in East Germany was quite hard. It must have been hard on them. I mean, yeah. And then I was five, and it was decided that I should visit a special needs school where it was a school for blind and partially sighted people near Berlin in Germany. That's around 3.5 hours drive from home. And back in the days, we had 6 days a week education and one day we were free. So it was a 6 day school week, something that our children probably can't even think of at the moment. And I was hardly ever home. I mean, every 2 weeks I was home for a day. You can imagine the sort of daily things we do to make life beautiful for our children. I couldn't really endure, or I couldn't really kind of enjoy. And I lived in a boarding school, which at the time I felt quite hard, because I wanted to be with my mom and with my dad and my little dog and, you know, things like that. But looking back in hindsight, I'm thinking that was a blessing, because I lived around schoolmates that had similar issues like me. And if there's one thing we do as children, we learn from one another. So, you know, there was always someone that knew the route to the closest sweet shop or you know, someone that could remember how to get to the closest ice cafe, or, you know, so in hindsight, I think it was the right decision from my parents to let me attend a boarding school, because we learned from one another and we always helped one another. And even though the supervision of the house mothers and house dads or supervisors or whatever you want to call them was very strict back in the days, bedtime 7 p.m. and all them things, I think I learned a lot during those first 4 years. That was reception, and then year 1, 2, 3. And then I found out that there was a school closer to home that would now educate blind and partially sighted children. So I spoke to my mom and dad, and much to the annoyance of the teachers in the school that we attended previously, I begged them to put me into that school because I wanted to be closer to home. So they did that. It still meant I had to be in a boarding school. It still meant I was away for 5 days a week. Then they changed that because we had the unification back in the 1989, and we were sort of one Germany at the time. And a lot of things changed at the school sort of agreed they would have blind children as well as partially sighted children, and they were only about an hour drive from home, 1.5 hours maybe. So I was closer home to home, and I had different teachers, and for me, things like mobility and orientation lessons and lessons where I learned how to cook and how to sew and how to stitch and, you know, how to sort of go about my daily household chores started. And that was a regular thing on the curriculum for blind and partially sighted children, just after the normal basic things we did, like maths, biology and chemistry, music and all them, and German and all them sort of subjects. So our school day was packed. It was a 8 a.m. start, or 7:45 a.m. start, and it was often enough a 6 p.m. finish. But again, looking back now, I'm thinking that was good, because I really, really early in life adapted white cane skills, which I didn't want to adapt because I could still see enough to walk around without a cane. But at least I was willing to learn, and was caught from my mobility teacher often enough without a cane somewhere, because we didn't see any danger at the time, like 10, 11, we didn't see that cars would do something if we don't see it coming. You know, we were just going out, and we were a bit braver than we are when we are getting older. So I think I was 13 and I had one of those lessons where I was asked to practice my vision skills on the magnifier, you know, them big desktop magnifiers that we have. And I couldn't see the screen, and my eyes would just water and well up, and I wasn't crying, but I could not see the screen, and the teachers didn't see what's happening, and sort of said to me, "Oh, why are you not trying a little harder? you should have practiced daily. Yes, I probably should have, but I was also just starting to learn French, and I loved English. Oh, at that time, back in the days, I was already quite interested in languages, and it was just something that I thought I know how to do anyway, so I didn't give it the greatest attention, really. And I didn't know it at the time, but this is when I started to lose my vision. And my parents kept saying, wow, I was hesitant all of a sudden to kind of walk outdoors. I didn't anymore go about it as easy as I did a couple of years previously. But still, no one has taken me to the ACLO or eye doctor or sort of eye consultant, which, if I think as a mum myself, if my child would tell me now there are certain problems with her seeing, or if I would spot behavior patterns like this, the first way I would choose would be to the eye consultant. But, you know, what can we do? That's how it was. And when I was 17, my grandmother talked to me about eyeball transplants and how my mum should sort of do more about this and how I should, my sight should be restored. I think it's a fantasizing dream still somehow that every nerves and everything kind of could be transplanted in that way. But I used this as the sort of opening to arrange an appointment about this with a eye clinic in the west of Germany in Cologne. And I got them to drive me there, which was a 8-hour trip, I think. And they have told me what I wanted to hear since 6 years, that it isn't my fault that I can't see, but it's actually my sight reducing, or, well, being next to nil at the time, because my retina was fully dissolving, and there's nothing they can do. They can't even operate me, because if they would, then I would just lose the remaining little bit of vision anyway. And it wasn't much anymore at the time. It was something like I could just about make up a face in front of me. And at least I knew, and I felt, I was sad, obviously I was sad, but I felt also delighted, and a lot of pressure went off me, because I was thinking all those years, it is my fault. Then after finishing secondary school, I did something like my GCSEs in economics. German education works a little bit different, but that's how I can compare it. And I had to do some work experience in a company that works for disabled people's interests. And I worked there for a year. And had the GCSEs in economics. And my plan was to either study social work or be a physiotherapist. But the courses for that were very far away. I think about a 10-hour drive from where my parents live. And I opted to study social work. But at the same time, the internet made its appearance in Germany, and us sort of young adults explored the internet with a screen reader, and I got to know, much to the dismay of my parents, I got to know a chap from India, nowhere closer, but India, that had to be my husband about 2 years later. Everything was fine for the kind of first couple of years. I was very young. I wanted to go and see him in India. My parents told me, if you do this, then, you know, we'll not support things like that. And if you do this, we'll not kind of be on your side. And I've not spoken to them for a couple of years at the time, and had to go about my stubborn way exploring meeting him in India. I mean, now as a parent myself, I totally understand their fears, and I have begged them for forgiveness like now, but at the time that's what I had to do. And the visa situation was very hard. I fought 1 year for him to even get a visa to come to Germany and live with me in Germany in 2003. A year later, he has then said, oh, it's quite hard language-wise in Germany. I don't know whether I can learn German well enough to live in Germany. I was studying social work then, and where could we go? Well, the closest English-speaking country that we knew was England. So, and there wasn't any Brexit, and it was really, it was surprisingly easy to decide, all right, we are going to move to England. We just came here for a week, explored the country a little bit, what it could do for him. I was, yeah, what it could do for him job-wise and from the perspective of employment and in general. And I discovered, I would say about at the same time that I was expecting our first child, I was 22. And yeah, I thought I would work with the employment side of things until the baby is born. And yeah, then we had to adjust. First of all, we had to make a decision. What do we do? Do we move or do we stay in Hamburg? That's where I lived in Germany at the time. And we decided we want to move to England. Again, my parents were furious. How do I move so far away? Which, thinking about it, in 1 hour plane ride, they could be with me. So it wasn't such an issue. But I do understand, you know, when their daughter moves abroad, it is a difficult topic. And but I went about it, and I'm glad I made this decision. England is the best thing that happened to me, is the move to England and finding my own independence over here. As a blind person, alone, really, because family was far away, and my friends at the time in Germany were in Germany, but they were not in England. And so it was all about making new friends, learning new ways. And my naive mind with 22 thought, I know English very well, but it's a different thing to know English at school or to speak English in a foreign country daily about every of your matters that you have to talk about. But I adjusted, I might want to say, and I go a bit quicker now. We had three children in England, well, here, my husband, ex-husband and I, sorry. And my children are three daughters. They are 16, 12 and 9 now. So all three of them are sighted, thank God. I count my blessings every single day. I mean, not that it's, you know, it wouldn't have been possible to raise them, but still, you know, it's nice to know that my children are healthy and you know, they don't have to face those difficulties. Yeah, and I started work with RNIB back in 2007. If someone would have told me I will work in technology, access technology mainly, I would have said, no way. I'm more a people person than a person that sort of sits behind programming and, you know, all day. I'm more a person that likes to sort of approach things from the people perspective. So that was something I never thought I would do. But then again, my job has a lot to do with talking to people and making sure customers are satisfied about the work we do and making a difference. And I think that's the most important thing, is making a difference to those customers that we serve or that we kind of work with. And that through the technology that I use myself was a good combination to make sure that's what I want to pass on to my people I talk to. An example about this is if I speak to someone that unfortunately has just lost a lot of vision, and they've normally, you know, quite justifyingly feel, I don't know how to deal with this. I'm very easily able to say, you know, I show you how, it's fine. Let's like just take a thing at a time or a topic at a time, you know, and then we explore what they can do. And it's nice for the people I work with to see that a person that's blind herself, that's lost a lot of vision at the time herself, is able to pass on those skills. And all of a sudden, someone that thought, oh, now I'm blind, I can't do anything but sit somewhere and listen to a talking book, hears from someone that traveled various countries and moved abroad and sort of set up a life independently. So I'm quite happy about this. In 2013, I had the feeling that my life is rather difficult, to put it mildly, because I noticed that my ex-husband doesn't want to be married anymore, to put it very mildly. He found a different partner, and my baby at the time was one. And again, family was very far away. I had a full-time job in London. There was no COVID that I could work from home. And child care commitments were in place, but still, you know, it's quite hard as a sighted person, I might want to say, to raise children in such position. But as a blind person without grandma next door that, oh, in the same town, that I could say, you know, I don't make it home in time because the train has a delay, could you just pick up my daughter tonight? I didn't have things like that. I didn't have the opportunity. And all of a sudden, I needed to make the decision, do I stay in the parental home or in the marital home, or do I move? To say we had a very difficult divorce is an understatement. A lot of court fees and orders later, my ex-husband moved out. I live here with my children. And yeah, that's what we do. And I thought, well, you just need to accept it like this. This is what life throws at you. The most important thing is my children are healthy, and I have a job to go to and earn and provide for them. In 2018, I met my husband that I knew previously, but we didn't make arrangements to meet. I don't know, it just didn't get to that. We shared the same interest. We are both very much into music, and we talked about that a lot, but we didn't sort of meet. And at some stage, we just decided this is the way we need to do this now. We need to meet and see. And I was at the time at the stage that I didn't want to be with anyone. I just wanted to live my life with my children, concentrate on their well-being, and that is it, no matter how hard it is. Something happened, and we met, and we decided we just see how it goes. And here we go. 3 years later, we married in lockdown. That wasn't planned to be in lockdown, but we liked the date. The 10th of the 10th, 2020 was a nice date. It sounds good. I wanted to make it all right this time. I didn't want to marry in a different country, far away from home. I wanted to get married in England, and then with a celebration in Germany to make sure my grandparents and so on can attend. But sometimes the situation is different, and you have to make do with what you get. And I mean, we still have hopes we can sort of repeat this celebration at some stage. But for now, it felt like the right decision for us. And we're both here. We're both working. He's blind himself. There's probably an interesting discovery I made. So my first husband that I had was sighted. And in that marriage, I sort of felt a lot like needing to justify myself and always needed to prove myself that I can do things like he would do things because he's sighted. And that was building up a lot of pressure sometimes. Even though I would class myself as quite independent, but everybody that's listening to this or that's watching this is, you know, that no matter how independent we are as a blind person, there are moments in life where we just need help. And I was made to feel that way, that that was a shame to ask for help, or that I would be seen as someone not as worthy or as kind or as clever. You know, I didn't want to feel that way. So it wasn't meant to be like this, but my husband now is blind himself. And for me personally, and this is just a personal thing, it's a lot more peaceful that way. We don't have all this proving to one another who can do what, and we know what to expect of one another and what everyone's strengths and weaknesses are. So that's good. But why am I telling you all this? It's nothing to do with blindness and independence. But I think if it wasn't for my education and the hard work, the schools, and I myself put into getting independent at the time, I think I wouldn't be where I am right now. And I'm actually quite happy having achieved that. Yeah, I can probably say a lot of it on my own. And if it was not that technology made such a huge leap about 10, 12 years ago. I remember I was really upset that I couldn't read books of my favorite authors, because just one would be produced as an audiobook, and no matter what ebooks would be published, I couldn't really see them with my screen reader at the time. I'm talking 12 years ago or something. And then people had this smartphone they talked about, and I really never got why people would buy themselves a touchscreen phone, because why do you make life more difficult if you can feel buttons, or if you can just use your house phone and talk to someone? And I remember the day that I thought, oh, maybe I work in technology, I should just go and buy myself one of those. And I went, at the time, I bought one off eBay because that was a little bit cheaper and I didn't want to waste more money than I did already, I thought. But it was the investment I'll never forget, because that technology changed my life. And it's not because I work in technology. I would be telling you that if I wouldn't work in technology, because it just changed my life, because I can do my banking, I can do my shopping. It's like you said about your customers learning about online shopping. I'll never forget when I did my first online shop, having previously sort of been told, no, don't use online shopping. Just go and buy things if you need things, which for a blind person is not always possible, because I don't always want to ask someone, can you please tell me what is this, what is that? I want to go and look it up myself. And even if you feel that, oh, you might not know how to do this, or you don't need to do this because XYZ helps you doing so, I always say, what if you want to make the person that helps you to get your shopping weekly a little present? What if it's her birthday or his birthday and you just feel, it would be nice if I had that box of chocolate? You can independently go and get it online. And I think to see the big choice that we have when it's about shopping, and now also about reading. I said previously how I, sometimes even cried about books not being available because I really wanted to read them. And now everything is available, really. There's not a lot where I have to see, oh, it's not been produced yet. I don't know when I last saw that, because everything is usually always there, one way or the other. And it's through smart technology and through technology and it developing the way it did that we can live such an independent life that I told you about just now, that we need to live, because I think that's what we want for our future. And that's what I want as a mum to pass on to my children. If I think a year back, I was sitting here home, maybe a year and 2-3 months back, I was sitting here home educating 3 children and still doing a full-time job. To say that I was mad at the end of the day, just my head was all over the place, is an understatement, because 3 children had different softwares at school we needed to follow, and that wouldn't have been possible if technology wouldn't have played ball at the time. So I'm grateful for technology developing the way it did, for, you know, the independence I experienced, because it helped me to make my life as enjoyable as I feel it is. So I think that brings me personally to the end of what I can say. I know it's not an hour, but it's enough, I would say. But I'm sure you have questions. So
yeah, thank you. That was amazing. Thank you, Madeline. Tim, can we put the group back into?
We can. I'm going to take you. You've been on spotlight, Madeline. Just say. Yeah.
Sorry. It's always good if you don't know this before.
Actually, I've done it. Sorry, Janet. I'm going to have to mute Janet because she's having her thing delivered, I think. Thanks, Madeline. That was you know, I like your story. I'm sorry to say this, but I think it's incredible what you achieved. And thank you for sharing it and being so honest. I just want to open up the conversation to the others in the group. If anybody would like to either ask Madeline something or make a comment or anything, anybody would like to speak?
Yeah, just like to ask Madeline,
Is Roger, by the way, Madeline?
Mm-hmm.
No, Roger. I just wondered if you learned Braille along the way.
Sorry. How did I forget this? Yes.
No, you can't answer. Roger, she's coming back in 2 weeks' time to talk about Braille. Can you please come back in the 2 weeks' time?
I just say so much. Yes, I did. Yes. And everything to do with Braille, I didn't cover today because in 2 weeks' time, I think it is. I'm here again. Session. You have to keep up with me again. And we talk everything to do Braille, note takers, and sort of independence through Braille, which is often always underestimated and sort of, not
that,
really.
That's enough. You don't have to go into more because they're not coming back in 2 weeks' time. Roger, I hope to see you in 2 weeks' time, yeah?
Okay.
10 o'clock, don't be late, yeah? Good question, though. Thank you. But yeah, Madeline is obviously now, as you all know, she's going to be the guest in 2 weeks' time. And I asked her to come back and talk about Braille because what she said is very not used and is a good topic, I think. So, and she said yes, obviously. So anybody else would like to? Rosemary, Dawn, anyone? Stuart or Vicky?
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions.
Tim. Here is Tim.
If I've got my maths right, Madeline, you were still at school when unification happened.
Yeah.
Did that make any difference at all? I mean, it sounds like you were getting good support anyway. Did that make any difference, though?
It did make a big difference. I mean, at the time, we were only able to be in the east of Germany and, you know, the educational sort of development that happened in the west of Germany, where they had large embossers and a lot more books for us to read, we didn't really see because it was different in the east of Germany. Education was good, but probably the choice was a bit narrower. And the memory that I have, not just education-wise, but in general, is that I still remember when I first went in my really big shopping center that we didn't know back in the east. We sort of had little shops and not really got everything we wanted. And the first visit to West Berlin, I still remember that I was really young at the time, but I do remember this and it did make a huge difference. Yeah.
Mm. I've got a technical question, but I'll save it to the end. Anybody else before I ask it?
Rosemary or Dawn, Stuart, Vicky? Oh, Janet, sorry, I had to put you down on mute. Would you like to unmute yourself?
No.
She's okay. Okay, sorry, Janet. Anybody? No?
What's your technical question then, Tim?
Okay. I'm the assistive technology coordinator at Sighted by South Lakes. And when I leave this meeting, for the first time ever, I have to attach a Braille embosser, a brand new one, to Windows 10. Is that easy?
You'll have to come back in 2 weeks, Tim.
Yeah, you come back in 2 weeks. It depends. Which embosser is it?
I don't know. I've not seen it. It's in a box. That's all I know.
Well, Susie has my contact details. Feel free to contact us if you know which embosser it is. What you need to do, you need to install a Braille software as well.
Yes, have to do that, yes.
Yeah, I don't know which one you want to use. Duxbury is a paid one, or Braille Maker, or anything else. Yeah, but...
What's the free one, Braille Maker?
Yeah.
Okay, it'll probably be that one.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That'll start me off. Thank you.
Okay.
And I'll ring you on the RNIB line about 1 o'clock.
Yeah, you do that. You do that.
That's great.
Yeah.
I had a question, Madeline. It's Roger again. Just regarding your job and technology for life. Obviously, you do Braille, which you're going to find out in 2 weeks. Smartphones. And what do you, is it normally just asking people, answering people's questions, or are you helping people to learn how to do things? For example, if somebody buys a computer and they want to learn, you know, to use Narrator or
something like that. We don't go out to train them in their houses. We don't do that, but we sort of tell people that they're more than welcome to call us. We often have like a weekly sort of call from our customers, or maybe sometimes even every day, you know, if they have a question. Obviously we try and manage expectations a little bit, but you know, and kind of make it into bite-sized sort of little bits that they can digest. Obviously also refer to keyboard shortcut help on the computer if necessary, or to any other places where they can go and get more help should they want it. Yeah, no, but we are very much there answering their questions about whatever topic they want to know. We work very closely, as you know, with partner organizations across England that often enough have courses that people can come in for technology sessions, or we have run sessions with partner organizations, as you probably also know, across the country, virtually and in person, where we are able to assist customers, you know, with their new technology, albeit your phone or computer or whatever it might be. And we have volunteers across the whole country that go out to customers' houses and assist people with their computer. So there will be many people that ring us and say, eyesight has dropped a lot. I need to use Narrator. I don't know how to switch this on. And even if you tell them keystrokes, they say, I don't know how to find and where to find the keys on the keyboard right now. And then someone would go in and kind of help them to get keyboard stickers or a large print keyboard and try and, you know, switch on Narrator and go through accessibility settings or install NVDA, things like that. Yeah, that's what we do.
So a follow-up question. Within the team, how many people work within the Technology for Life team? And with people within the team, do you have people who are specialized in different...
We do a bit, yeah. We have about 12 people in as coordinators, and then we have a couple of like product coordinators and so on. But 12 people that are doing the job that I do in different areas, and yeah, there is a bit of specific. So there will be people that really specialize in gaming technology for blind and partially sighted people. Then there will be others that use or specialize in Braille and audio description, smartphones, you know, because with the best due respect anywhere, you know, you can't know it all. And like there is, you have to sort of know something about it, but you probably don't know in depth about everything that you support. But we know, just need to know where to find the information. And as long as we do, and we have, I think we support each other really well within the team.
Madeline, can you also say that, as far as I know, that all of you in the team are, all of you, I believe.
No, not all. Not all, but...
I thought it was all of you.
No, we don't have a couple of sighted people.
Okay.
A few sighted people.
Oh, I think the South East or South England.
Yeah, all the South East is partially sighted. That's
partially
true.
Sighted, everybody in that team,
That's true,
blind.
I must say. I agree. But in the whole 12 coordinators, I think we have seven or eight that experience some sort of sight loss. Some of them can see very well, so they'll be very good people to talk to about magnification. And some of us don't see anything, and then obviously they'll do the same thing with Braille. So,
yeah. Thank you. Sorry, Roger, did you have another question?
Well, I was just saying, if you call with a specific problem, you get connected to one coordinator who doesn't have that specialist knowledge. Do you then pass that call to somebody who does?
Yeah, we have a very good system that that person then takes, you know, the background and understands where you need help. And that person will then tell, for example, if you ring me, and you need really someone to view your screen, with the best will in the world, I can't do that. So I will then take your details and what is this about? And I will ask my colleague that I know can view the screen with you, or can tell you the color coordinations of whatever websites, and they will then ring you back.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any other question or maybe a comment they would like to say? No, no. Nobody's meddling, no.
Okay, well.
It's been lovely to hear her story though.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was Rosemary.
Yes.
Well, I listen on behalf of my grandson who has just recently become totally blind.
Okay.
So I'm trying to find out.
How old is he, Rosemary?
Pardon?
How old is he?
He is 30.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, he hasn't been through blind school or anything like that. So a lot of things he absolutely doesn't know. And of course, a lot of things he does know. And he's just had his white stick training just at last.
Yeah, that's good. So I have not talked about my guide dog at all. That's probably something I should quickly mention, because you say about your grandson, that's something he might want to explore. Yeah. I never had a guide dog until I was 26. And I like dogs, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but I never mm-hmm. wanted a pet.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel it's one more thing to look after.
Yes.
Hair to clean, fur to clean, and I wasn't all that sort of. I didn't like the dog licking you, and so I wouldn't have a guide dog before. And then someone kind of talked about having a dog, and I thought to myself, but maybe that would help to be even more, active, sort of go out and kind of explore things a bit more, and. I decided to go for a guide dog, and looking back, that was the best decision I have ever made. I've had a couple of guide dogs because some of them couldn't cope with London. Some of them developed an illness with his tummy, and he had to kind of be retired very, very early. It was a brilliant dog, but. But I have now, and he works really well, a dog called Fabian.
Mm-hmm.
That was at the time that I thought, I don't even bother for them to contact me anymore. You know, I was with a dog for a while and then with no dog for 2 years, and I've adjusted now. Thank you. I'm all right. And then Fabian came, and bless him, he's a really good guide dog. That comes first, but he is an absolute family star as well. He loves the kids. He loves the house. He loves us as a family. He's brought every doggy love within me to life that I never thought I had. For your grandson, I'm thinking, if he finds, which I think he will do, he'll find it hard to use the cane, because the hearing, people talk about blind people having that special hearing, don't they? I mean, we don't really have a special hearing, but we just hear things a bit more clearly or with attention than you would probably do if you don't have a sight issue. And that takes time. That doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And if he wants to get out and about, maybe think about a guide dog.
I think he'd love to have one. Yes, he always loved dogs. They always had one in their family.
It is a good companion as well as really
he's
good.
Lonely, really.
Yeah, yeah. And another good thing that I think really opened up my world, I haven't mentioned this, these days so much that you can make, is a smart speaker. I haven't talked about that. Like, I just have to say the word Alexa and you all know what I mean. Never thought that would make a big difference because I thought everything they can do, I can do on my phone. But, you know, it's just nice not to rummage in that big case of CDs for the right one to put into the player and listen to, because she does it all for you, or he, or the Google Home, you know, whatever. They do it all for you. And I think that's why I'm quite happily saying technology has made a huge leap. And between our smartphone, a good computer with a screen reader or magnifier and a smart speaker, we can be quite independent, and a guide dog or a good cane skill, we can be quite independent. So
wonderful.
Rosemary, can I just ask something about your grandson? Is he working or was he working?
No, he's never worked, actually. Never. No, he's had quite a complicated background with you know, a lot of problems, actually.
I do employment if you need, I have people who are working age. So if that's ever an issue, just come and look for me, support for site.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Is anybody would like to make a comment, or shall we just thank Madeline, sorry, for her time? Stuart, do you want to come on?
Well, I've got nothing to ask. I just wanted to say that, you know, I thought it was a really inspiring story, and I think just that the crossing of international waters, you know, that in itself is a huge task for anybody. Really enjoyed it, and I think it's going to be very useful to a lot of our clients.
Feel free to pass this.
Can you please just tell Madeline where you're from, which organization?
So I'm from Site Concern Worcestershire.
Lovely.
So it's six of us here, and then Vicky is also on the line from Sutton.
Hello, I'm here.
Do you want to say something, Vicky? So team,
can you hear me?
Yes, Vicky.
Hi, Madeline. I'm down here in South London, and I started losing my sight at the age of 30. Macular, so I've got no central vision, and I have to say I then went on to have a couple of kids, and the thing that changed my life was getting my first iPad.
Yes.
This was one of the most early things, and they couldn't do anything because I was able to take photographs of their homework and zoom in, because I've still got some peripheral vision. Yeah. I just can't see detail. Yeah. So I won't get too much into the technical side, because I know you're coming back in a couple of weeks, but no, the technology specifically has just been so important. And throughout lockdown, I've been doing a lot of webinars and learning a lot of stuff. And on the back of that, I'm now employed after almost 10 years of being unemployed.
Oh, that's nice.
So I'm very proud of myself.
You should be.
And that's nice. But if ever
you have any questions, there are really, really good groups on Facebook where it's all about my mum's or... And that really helped me in the early years of parenting. Now I'm still on there now. Every now and then I still say something. It has become a bit less, but I'm still on there. There are really good groups around. And if you need anything, just get in touch with me.
Because you guys are, Vicky, your local R&IB person is Madeline, actually, because she covers the Southeast.
Well, London.
So you two are there you go. Go off and have coffee.
My new best friend.
Brilliant. That's it. I mean, I normally work in London. At the moment, I sit in Kent. But I normally work in London. So,
there you go. There's
Any connection made.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, are we okay to stop the recording now, Tim?
Yes. I'm afraid I need to leave. Susie, I know we are scheduled for a meeting. Can I ring you?